Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Tuesday is going to be a day now. It's going to be a day that you're going to remember forever, as Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, has been charged with 37 different crimes in relation to the Mar-a-Lago raid and the documents that he held after leaving the White House. It's pretty clear from reading through these counts that he is not a spy, that he was not leaking this stuff to foreign governments, that the espionage charges simply should not be part of this. And if I'm not mistaken, I think 31 of them have to do with obstruction and espionage and that sort of thing. It doesn't really matter. It's 37 charges that they can convict him on one. It's a huge problem for Donald Trump. I think everybody can see that at this point, but all eyes will be on Tuesday when Trump appears in court in Florida, then flies back to New Jersey and gives a primetime speech that I think will happen sometime around 7:15 or 7:30 Central Time to the entire nation. You would expect that everybody is going to have that and the opportunity to see this. Reason will tell us, whenever you try to analyze what's going on, that the only thing we have to make any sort of prediction or projection as to what's going to happen going forward with the presidential race, or whether or not Donald Trump has committed crimes, whether or not he's going to be in jail, and this is far more serious than Alvin Bragg or what's going on in Georgia and places like that. This is the play of the left. They do this everywhere around the world. They do it in Venezuela. They've done it in Cuba. They do it in Russia. They do it in Ukraine. They do it in North Korea. You name the leftist dictator, socialist, communist regimes, China, around the globe, and this is what you do. You jail your opponent so you stay in power. This is an obvious thing that's going on. These are not, by most Americans' count, serious crimes. They don't look at Donald Trump and think, uh-oh, he's giving up America, we're in danger, which is what these crimes allege, is that America's in grave danger because Donald Trump was out there taking documents and supposedly doing things to hurt America. You can hate Donald Trump, but even the most dyed-in-the-wool Trump haters on the left know that he doesn't really hate America, nor does he want to hurt America. That's absurd. And I think they know that deep down. But where this goes, we don't have a history. And anytime you try to make reason of something, when you're reasoning something out, and I've been thinking all weekend long how I'm going to talk about this on the podcast, I wish I had more to give you. There is no history of this. There's no way of telling not only what the legal system will do, the Department of Justice, these charges. My guess would be that this would take so long it goes past the election that there could really be no conviction before November of 24, that this could just be continued and appealed and continued and appealed. And if he were to win the presidency, he could obviously pardon himself on all charges and have no issue here at all. But since there is no history, we don't know what will happen legally. The real thing we don't know, as far as history of this sort of thing, is what will voters make of this? That's what we don't know. And I'm not talking about Republican voters in the primary. I don't think any of this really hurts Trump that much in the primary. Again, I just don't think anybody's changing their Trump vote. At this point, they're not. If something more comes forth, or if they play this audio tape and people hear it and don't like it, supposedly there's an audio tape of Trump who is doesn't drink, by the way, doesn't do drugs, so it wasn't like, oh, he had a few glasses of wine and, you know, it was slipping out. Trump likes to boast. We know what he does. And it sounds like he was bragging to people about something security-wise that he knew or had or something like that. If there is some sort of damning issue out there for Trump, that this was dangerous, that he shouldn't have been doing it, I think then Republican voters will vote on that or decide on that or maybe turn on Trump. That's all possible. But again, no real history here. History tells us, the only history we have involved in any of this is history tells us the more Donald Trump is persecuted, the more his supporters dig in and support him. That's the only history we have here. We know that the more they come after Trump, the more Trump voters dig in and support him. The more they love him, the more they cheer him, the more they root him on. They simply view this, and I view it this way, as a political hit job, a threat to their uniparty, their one-party rule. They see Donald Trump as the man in the way of that. They have always seen Donald Trump as the populist, that will go get the former Democrat voters, the blue-collar guys, the dudes that work on the job, that Trump's been around his entire life on construction crews and build jobs and all these other things. They see him as the threat to the people that have always voted for them, swinging back over, the common folks, the people in the middle. And I don't mean geographically. I'm just talking about in the economic system of this country. The people in the middle have moved from Democrat to Trump. They've done that. It's the party of the worker. It's the party of the common man. It's the party of the farmer. It's the party of the union man and women. Trump struggled with women because of his personality. You would think if we can swing the middle-class people to the right, eventually candidates will come along on the right that articulate the same message that women are going to like and vote for, and it will make sense for. When that happens, it could be a great day for America. Trump is 90% great and 10% bad, and the 10% of him that's bad is really harmful, because just as the people that dig in for him and support him in every way dig in more when this happens, the people that hate him see this and think he's a crook. Now they think he's not just a blowhard or a person they didn't like or whatever. Now they say, he's a criminal. And they're digging in just as much and will never swing their votes. I don't know. I wish I had more to share. There's no history here. This has never happened in U.S. history. There's never been a former president indicted on charges like this. Certainly never been one that's running again that wants to be president. And this does feel, as Trump said, he calls it third world. That's reasonable that there are third world countries that this happens. You know, but I think of what has happened to Netanyahu in Israel, even where, you know, he's gone in and out of office back and forth. You know, they love him, they hate him, that sort of thing. I see other countries where this happens. I think the most obvious playbook here is Ukraine, where Zelensky has jailed 6 or 7 of his opponents, jailed. That's not free elections. When the most popular candidates, according to the people, that can threaten you winning are put in jail, that pretty much takes care of it. And that's where the left is in America today. We will weaponize the government. We're in charge. We will indict you. If that doesn't win the election for us, we will put you in jail. We will do whatever we have to do. We're going to lock you up. That's what they want to do. They want to lock up Trump. We didn't lock up Hillary. We didn't lock up Bill Clinton, who perjures himself and loses his law license. We haven't locked up Biden for any of the money taking in Ukraine. We haven't done any of that. And the sad reality is everything Republicans do now, everything we do, we follow the Democrats. They do it first, and then we have to follow them and try to play catch up. They figure out how to scam elections. Now we got to figure out how to do it. They create all these terms and put them out there, misinformation, disinformation. Now we have to learn how to use them. Trump's out there using the term election interference, which is what they've been saying he's been doing for 5 years. We're always playing catch up. And so now what? The complete and utter destruction of America, if we get the White House back, if the Republicans get in charge in 2024, now we're just going to go arrest and prosecute Democrats everywhere. We're going to take the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the CIA and weaponize it against Democrats. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I am. That would be glorious. We would love to see that. We'd like to see actual action. Trump could have done it. He backed off Hillary. He beat Hillary and backed off. He didn't send his DOJ and instruct his people to go come up with indictments and charge her 37 times and put her in the court in front of the judge. He didn't demand that of his people like this administration is doing. And Joe Biden isn't smart enough to do this. It's other people. This is Barack Obama. This is Obama and his lieutenants, and this is what they're doing. And they fall in line. Trump goes out and brings in people like Bill Barr who go, well, we have to be fair and honest, and it's admirable in the beginning until you see the other side doesn't play that way. And so it's not as admirable. And you put Chris Wray in at the FBI and you go, okay, he leans right, but he's a fair-minded guy. This is the way to do it. This is what these agencies are supposed to be, until you learn that is not what they do. So now what? If, and it seems dire today, it's just today, if the Republicans get back in charge, we're going to weaponize the government? Is that what we want the rest of our lives? We just want to see whichever party is elected is going to go out and try to arrest and jail people in the other party. That's what we want? Is that what we want? Is that what we want? We're going to charge George W. Bush with war crimes? That's been the claim. War crimes, George W. Bush. Bill Clinton, impeachment. Lying under oath. Perjury. Nothing. Next president didn't go after him. This is just what we're going to do. We're going to lock Obama up. I'm sure there's all kinds of things we can find on Obama. All kinds of things. What's the statute of limitations? Can we go after him? Is that what you want to see? It sounds fun. It sounds great. It sounds like payback. To me, it sounds horrible for America. But I'll say this. If they're not going to stop on the left, if this is going to be their order of the business the rest of our lives, we got to do it. We got to do the exact same thing. As much as I hate to say that, I think it's terrible for the country. I think it's bad for democracy. If they won't stop, we have to start. It's the same thing with this election crap. If they're going to be dumping ballots, if they're going to have all this mail-in voting and trucks are going to arrive at 3 a.m. after the networks have turned off their TV coverage and they say, we'll be back with a new count tomorrow in Pennsylvania. And we see videos of giant trucks dropping bags and bags and bags of ballots in the middle of the night. If that's what they're going to do, we got to do it too. We got to find a way to do it. We got till November 24 to figure out how to harvest ballots. And I mean harvest. It's just like being a farmer. We got to plant the seeds now. We got to grow them. We got to get them. We got to find people that are not going to vote. We know who American citizens are. You have access to Social Security numbers. You know where people live. You know whether they're registered or not. You know whether they voted in the last 20 years. Do you know how many millions of Americans have not voted in the last 20 years? Find them, get their ballots, fill them out for them, and turn them in. Makes me sick to say it. And in many ways, it sounds like a crime. What else is there if they're doing it? We're losing on this front. They'll do anything to win because even when they weaponize the government or they scam on elections, they don't care because their ultimate goal is to break this country down anyway and start over. So they don't care about our institutions. They don't care about our history. They don't care about right and wrong. They do not care. If they have to break down the way we've done everything for 250 years, they will. They want to do that. In short, honest to God, the simplest way to say this, if you're wondering why everyone, and this is a red line or a line in the sand or whatever you want to say, if a Republican is all in right now supporting Ukraine, I've got a problem with that Republican. That's my new gauge, and here's why. Everybody on the left in this country wants to make us Ukraine. That's what they want. They want this country to be Ukraine. They want to find their person, put them in charge, jail the opponents, make all their own rules, close down churches. It's what Zelensky does. He's closing churches, and he's jailing his opponents. There are no free and fair elections in Ukraine. That's a joke. And yet that's where the left goes and says, this is our guy. We want to prop him up. We love him. He is Winston Churchill, for crying out loud, they're saying. The whole thing's absurd. It's just outrageous. And there is no freedom in Ukraine. And now there is war because that's what happens. That's what they want. The easiest thing to look at is Ukraine and say, if Joe Biden had a campaign slogan, make United States Ukraine again. It's sad, man. It's a sad day. 37 counts for Donald Trump. He'll be in court on Tuesday again. He'll give the speech on Tuesday night. Looks like around 7:15 our time. I promise, I wish I could give you more. I wish I could crystal ball this and say, I think I know what's going to happen. There just isn't any history. The only history we have is we know for a fact that Trump's voters right now are digging in for him. They're digging in. This will not, in the short term, hurt him in the polls. It simply won't. And at the same time, these clowns at the White House over the weekend break the United States flag code. Now, if you ask the average American, what would bother you more? Trump having documents at Mar-a-Lago or a president hanging a pride flag that breaks the U.S. flag code? Because the White House, they unveiled three flags above the rotunda thing there. Outside the White House, the middle flag was the pride flag. The two flanking flags were U.S. flags, Old Glory, stars and stripes. And it states very clearly in the flag code that the United States flag does not flank any other flag, that it is to be the dominant flag in the middle or above all other flags that it is displayed with. They know this. They knew this. You will never convince me otherwise. They freaking did this on purpose. They did it on purpose. They did it for outrage. They did it for effect. They did it for a giant middle finger to the entire MAGA population and conservatives everywhere and said, we don't care anymore. Another thing we don't like as Democrats is the flag code. We don't think that much of that flag. We think it represents white supremacy, tyranny, our darkest days. I'm telling you, they hate America. They hate it all. They hate everything we've been. They despise it. And they hang the pride flag in the number one position and the American flag in the number two and three positions at the White House. You can't make this up. I don't know how we're going to get Americans to see this, but at every single week we've done this podcast, there's just one more outrageous thing after another where they're tearing this country down and ripping it apart and want to turn it into a socialist regime. A one-party rule. That's all they want. They just want the power and the control over all of us. Taxes will go up. Inflation will go up. They'll hand out free gifts and say, look how good we are. We're helping you. We're going to level the playing field. You may have worked your whole life to do well, but doggone it, we're going to help those others that didn't work. We're just going to make sure this thing's even. Regardless, oh, you paid taxes and other people don't, that's okay. We're going to even it out now and take more of your money and give it to them. It's what they want. It gives them more control when they do. It absolutely does. They knew they broke the flag code. I'm sorry. There's too many people working at the White House and too many people that know this simple thing. You don't fly the pride flag in the middle and flank it with the U.S. flag. Old Glory. You just don't. Come on, everybody knows that. Every single person knows that. KKHI is proud to be sponsored by Cross Kitchens KC, your remodeler. Spoke with a friend over the weekend, said he's considering using Cross Kitchens. Said he does more than kitchens, right? I'm like, yes, he does more than kitchens. I talk about my buddy's basement that's being remodeled. They're redoing an entire lower level in a house that's about 25 years old, I would guess, or something, 20, 25 years old. They're remodeling and redoing all of it. Down there, he does it all. He'll do bathrooms. He can do the man cave, bedrooms, anything you want remodeled, he'll do. They specialize in kitchens because they know most people love the kitchen area for gathering with the family. These friends that I have that are redoing the basement have already remodeled their kitchen. They'd previously done that. So Cross Kitchens KC, you name it. If you want to remodel it, they'd love to do it for you. Call my buddy Tim over there at 816-898-7047, crosskitchenskc.com. MyPillow.com, now featuring the MyPillow 2.0 and a huge sale on slippers. It's summer. Obviously, last year's slippers got to go. They're practically given away, to be honest. If you log on to MyPillow.com, all I ask is you use the promo code KKHI. No matter what you're looking for there, whether it's premium pillows, a body pillow, pet blankets, dog beds, sheets, mattress toppers, or if you go to mystore.com for all their great conservative products and services, we would really appreciate it at your checkout if you use the promo code KKHI. There is no code that will save you any more money. This is the maximum code anywhere. KKHI at MyPillowAndMyStore.com. Great Life KC, play more golf. They have golf and fitness memberships all over Kansas City. The classic membership is 6 courses, 1 price from Leavenworth to Blue Springs for individuals or family. They have signature clubs like Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, and Canyon Farms. They also have Tallgrass Club in Wichita, Osage National at the Lake of the Ozarks, and now almost 60 courses throughout the Midwest and South. Amazing company. Great Life KC. Play more golf. It's good for you. Getting out playing golf is good for you. Just be careful where you are in Kansas City, as the homicide rate is now up to 84 this year. It is, well, it's well over where it was last year, which was the second deadliest year in Kansas City. Last year, we had 171 murders in Kansas City, Missouri. We had 69 at this point last year. We have 84 this year. It's getting worse. Summer's the worst time. As it gets hot, more people die. A new record is coming, or at least it looks like it is. And I bring this up because this was Pride weekend, and we drove by. I wrote what many believe is the best patrons post we've written yet. Most of the patrons posts that I write on the weekend are multiple topics, but I basically wrote one patrons post about our day Saturday, visiting many spots and places around Kansas City on our way to the Luke Combs concert at Arrowhead. We'll have more on that in a moment. We know Mahomes shotgunned his beer and rode a mechanical bull and whatever it was that he did afterwards. We had a great time. And I'll tell you what, you automatically get all the patron podcasts when you sign up to become a patron. They're just loaded in there. You can listen to any of the previous ones. But the newsletter's not the same way. I'll make you a deal. If you sign up this week, I'll email you personally the patron's post. I'll make sure you get it. If you sign up to become a patron this week, I will get you. You might want to read this one. It's about the American dream and what we experienced at Arrowhead. It was pretty sensational. It's pretty cool. So if you want to check that out, just sign up to become a patron. I'll see that you sign up, and I'll email you the patron's post. But part of the patron's post, we were talking about driving from the plaza to the stadium, which is like going from the nicest, ritziest, richest place in Kansas City through some of the worst places in Kansas City. I'm in the deadliest zip code and the things that we saw there. And it was, I'll be honest with you, at times when you stop at a light and there's just like people milling around on the street, we looked over at one place and the asphalt underneath a truck next to our car was red. And I said to my friend, I said, what is that? Is that blood that was cleaned up, but the tar is stained? I don't even know what it was. I don't know why it was red, but there's creepy parts of this city. Mayor Q is doing nothing about this. He's just another wishy-washy, pathetic, liberal Democrat that is not serious about things that matter. But he's at the gay pride parade, which we also saw. It was strange at best. The things that they're militant. It's not that they don't want acceptance and they don't want equality. If you want acceptance, you don't do the things the way they do it. You don't throw it in militant style in people's faces. What you're doing is saying you're a bad person because you don't like what I'm doing. Well, I don't like when people that are conservatives act like idiots either. I don't. We had a couple of really drunk people in front of us at the show on Saturday night, and they acted like complete fools. I wasn't fond of them, but I'm pretty sure they were Trump voters. Nobody likes a-holes, okay? And some of these festivals and stuff, it's just you're just a bunch of a-holes. Honestly, Mayor Q's too busy wearing his tie or ribbon or whatever it was he had on that demonstrated the pride and, oh, wasn't this just remarkable? He's too busy to do anything serious like the murder rate. And it's a real thing. We're going to have another record this year. And as I was perusing kcstar.com, where I just check every day to see what's going on the left, because it's a pretty good chronicle of what's going on the left, I was astounded at this figure. Through 4 months this year, Omaha is smaller than Kansas City, but not by a great big difference, right? We're at 84 homicides this year. Through the first 4 months of 2023, Omaha had one. One. We may want to take a look at what Omaha's doing that Kansas City isn't. Just saying. There's a big battery plant coming to Kansas. You may have heard this. Is it Panasonic? They're building a car battery plant not very far from where I live. It's near Eudora? DeSoto? Between DeSoto and Eudora, out on K10 on the way to Lawrence. And it's a big deal. And it's going to create a lot of really high-paying jobs and be a real boon for the state of Kansas. We're pleased to have it. A lot of folks are critical about the way that it happened, and maybe Kansas didn't get as good a deal as they wanted, but getting the best deal isn't everything. Getting the plant itself is the important part. And the assumption will be that plant's going to be there and build and get bigger and bigger and bigger, maybe over 50 years or 100 years or whatever, and it will pay off incredibly if it stays that long and it works. That's, you're banking on the com, right? Well, this is interesting about Kansas. Kansas has finished in the bottom five in the United States of states where a citizen of Kansas would even consider, not has or purchased, would even consider. Only 10% of Kansans say they would even consider driving an electric car, electric vehicle. In Missouri, it's just under 20%. The U.S. average is 23%. And when you look at the states where it's 10% or lower, it's like all the MAGA states. Missouri, again, is a little bit higher. But Missouri has Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Louis, Missouri, and that skews it, I think, a little bit. They have population centers with cities that the state of Kansas doesn't really have. So it's different in that regard. I just thought those were really interesting statistics. We got a battery plant coming. Tesla batteries are going to be made there. It's a big deal for the state of Kansas. And it's the state where pretty much other than Wyoming is and Oklahoma are the lowest in America of people who would want to even consider purchasing an electric vehicle. My buddy Jim sent me the final tally from the Ballard Center. The Ballard Center, as you know, is a wonderful facility in Lawrence that we have talked about each year around their Changing Lives Gala that they have every summer and the wonderful work they do with small children in incredibly difficult circumstances and how they help. We know that this fundraiser is a big night for them, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. The final tally is in. Becky Price was the executive director, and she was outgoing, and she's very popular, and she's basically made this thing Becky's basically made this thing a go. She's made it work. It was a fledgling operation when she got there years and years ago, and she turned it into something just beautiful and brilliant for kids that really, really need it in the Lawrence area. And so this was kind of her swan song, her outgoing event. And they raised, I'm not making this up, this little outfit that started really from ground zero. This is not some big organization. This is not some big thing that we have. We have a lot of great big charities in Kansas City. We have a lot of them. This is not. The Ballard Center is not that. This is people who don't make much money. They have a calling. They're just trying to help with some really bad situations in Lawrence and around Lawrence and some rural areas and stuff. And they just do a phenomenal job. They raised in one night $390,000. Their average take from their gala over the last few years has been about $150,000. And they did $390,000 in one night. And that is going to change lives. And if you take one thing away from this podcast today, it's that people are good. We talk about a lot of bad here. We talked about a lot of Democrats and things they're up to. Most people are good. And the people that work at the Ballard Center are great. These are such high quality people. They could be making 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much money working somewhere else. And they don't. They're committed to these kids. They're committed to repositioning them with family members or working them back into their own home if the parents get their lives together. I mean, we're talking about some of the most dire situations you can even imagine with drugs and guns and violence and things in homes where they take these kids and they teach them and they try to reacclimate them and get them with somebody, get them with a grandparent for a while, see if the parents can get sober. It's just remarkable the work that they do. It is It's almost unspeakable, some of the situations. But it is not unspeakable to say $390,000 was raised in one night at the Changing Lives Gala, the Ballard Center in Lawrence. Way to go. Becky, job well done. The new crew takes over, and they're going to do great things there, and we're certainly looking forward to that. These folks are awesome. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. I saw a guy on Friday that came up to me and said, hey, that we're building a house out at Weatherby Lake, and I'm the concrete guy. I'm doing the foundation for Back 9 Development. I'm like, awesome, dude. He goes, yeah, TJ's a great guy, and this is such a cool project they're doing at Weatherby Lake. We're very excited about it. And I said, man, it's great. You know, there's just all kinds of people through Back 9 Development that either get work or their businesses get to take advantage of this. It's a great thing for the economy. We'd love it if you're considering either a big room addition or a new home or some sort of commercial project. Consider Back 9 Development. They use all kinds of great subs and companies here in the Kansas City area. It's great for our economy. TJ would love to take your phone call if you're interested. He'd meet with you personally about whatever it is you're thinking about doing. 785-236-0161. Back 9 Development can be your custom home builder anywhere in the Kansas City metro area, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Back9development.com. That's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Of course, Buck Roofing does all the roofs for Back 9. Whatever Back 9 builds, Buck Roofing does the roof. There's another sub, another great Kansas City company that benefits from all of the jobs that Back 9 Development does. Buck Roofing will give you a free roof inspection right now. We had a lot of rain the last week. If you're seeing some spots or circles on your ceiling, you better call Buck Roofing at 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Mark and his team at 360 Document Solutions. You know, this is a simple call. If you have an office where you have copiers, printers, voiceover IP, phone systems, things like that, and the person you have it through is the actual company name, Megacorp, that is on the machine, you're not getting very good customer service. You're not. Here's what they do. They hire sales reps in our area to sell you machines, or in some cases, Mark told me about a company that ordered 10 phones. A sales rep came out. They got 10 phones from this company. They shipped the phones and said, oh, that's all we do. You got to hook them up yourself. They're like, wait, what? We don't know how to do that. If your contract, your lease on these machines is with the company on the machine, you're losing out. Mark can save you money and give you real customer service that matters. When something breaks, they'll come fix it. They've got people for that. They're on it. Service is everything at 360documentsolutions.com. Look, in a cold world where everything's ordered online or you talk to somebody in India or Guatemala, dump it. Dump it. Don't do it, folks. 360documentsolutions.com. Anywhere in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, Mark and his team will be your best friends. You won't believe the service you get with 360documentsolutions.com. Big fans of them. On to sports. The Royals went 0-6 on their road trip with their dads. They got swept and swept. Oh, but they got Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes coming out to the ballpark on Monday night. The Reds are here. The Royals are 18-47. Doesn't matter. It's Chiefs night at the K, baby. Chiefs night at the K. Here we go. Mahomes will be there. I assume he slept off his hangover yesterday, and he'll be ready to go again tonight because it looked like they were feeling no pain on Saturday night. I don't know. I saw a social media post of Mahomes on a mechanical bull. There's a lot of AI and stuff out there now. I guess that was real. I only believe now in things that I see with my own eyes. I saw with my own eyes Patrick Mahomes shotgun a beer with Luke Combs on Saturday night and 55,000 fans go wild. It was fun. It is a sad situation that Patrick Mahomes going to a concert is a 25 times bigger story than your Major League Baseball team. These are all truths. And what kind of crowd they'll have out there tonight, I don't know. Mahomes and Kelce are coming. You tell me. I don't know what that means. We're in uncharted water here. I know that the Royals would have about 13,000 people, 12,000 people out there tonight if Mahomes and Kelce weren't coming. So we'll see what happens. I really don't know. I know they're 18-47 and they're god-awful, and Zach Greinke's going to go out and lose another game tonight. That's what I know. Because the Royals just lose. It's what they do. I don't feel sorry for the dads that went on this trip and saw all six losses. Their boys are major league players. We don't feel sorry for dads who live the dream of their son playing Major League Baseball. Can't do that. Can't go there. But this had to be the worst Royals dad's trip in history. Might be the worst Royals team in history. I doubt they ever went 0-6 on the dad's trip. I guess anything's possible. But there it is. And Mahomes will probably steal the show on Monday night. The Royals won't care. If they can just sell 5,000 more tickets, they'll be thrilled that Mahomes came out and helped him. Mahomes is selling his house for just under $3 million. If you want to buy it, it's on 57th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. I can't believe he lived that long in Kansas City, Missouri, to be honest. Especially when he started having babies. But he did, and he's out of there, and he's got a nice gated house with massive security around it that he's building, and he should. He's got the money to do that. He should be doing that. He had a good time. I've said it before. As much as I don't like his wife, Jessica even said yesterday, you know, I don't like her. But she did post, we listen to country music and love country music like nobody else. They're conservatives. These are Texans. And this, look, I'm the only person who's going to say this. This is why you listen to my podcast. Because I really don't give a flip what anybody thinks about this. I'm going to say it. Patrick Mahomes is a hell of a lot more white than he is black. I said it. He's MAGA, baby. He's conservative. His Twitter picture is the American flag stretched across the field at Arrowhead Stadium. His wife's all, oh, I love Lainey Wilson, and they like watching Yellowstone, and they love country music, and he's out there with Luke Combs shotgunning a beer, and you know, the Riley Green, who was in the opening act, or the right before Luke Combs, has a song where he's about grandpas, never die. The cold cooler's a Bud Light, and he changed it to Bush Light, and the stadium roared and cheered, and everything was good. And it's just remarkable watching this. It was a MAGA convention Saturday night. It truly was. I'm telling you, I wrote a really nice piece at the Patrons Post. If you subscribe as a patron, I'll get it emailed to you this week. I think you're going to like reading it. It was an exercise in the American dream, and everything that 37 indictments of Donald Trump is not. What the left does. It was everything the left isn't. And it was spectacular. And it was a wonderful night. And I don't care that the kid did that. And the kid, he's 27, that the man did that. Or if he went and rode the mechanical bull at Power and Light afterwards, I really don't care what he does. I trust him to be safe and not get in trouble. Sounds like he was with his wife all night. I don't think he's slamming, chugging Coors Lights on stage and getting behind the wheel. I don't. I trust Patrick Mahomes that way. I don't trust all athletes that way. I trust Patrick Mahomes that way. I do. And he's about to get real serious here in a few weeks as the season starts. And to be honest, I don't know if it even matters how serious he has to be. The guy's won 2 Super Bowls. That's a short list right there. Of course he wants to win more and may, but even if he doesn't, if he just plays another 10 years in Kansas City or 15 years and just thrills us with great highlights and a bunch of wins and fun seasons, he's still won 2. That's what Peyton Manning got. And it took him 2 different teams. Manning didn't win 2 with any one team. And think of how people view Peyton Manning. I mean, this thing's cemented. Mahomes can do no wrong. I'm okay with that. All right. We will have one more Mahomes note in our final. We'll save that for the final. That's down the road, though. Unbelievable golf tournament. The week of the golf merger. Unbelievable golf tournament. The Canadian Open. 69 years since a Canadian has won the Canadian Open, and it happened on Sunday. And I watched this for an hour and a half. It went into sudden death. I'm like, well, I got the grill on. I'm trying to watch and grill, and oh, buddy, this is real simple, but I'm a simpleton at heart. I dialed up some of the best burgers you ever had yesterday. Oh, my God. I got this little thing about burgers. I think the meat-to-bun ratio is all that matters. Like, I hate some big bun and tiny little burger in there. So I went to Walmart yesterday. I had to pick it. We were out of Gatorade. I love Gatorade Zero, the yellow kind, right after I mow. And it's just stuff we needed. And so I'm going to Walmart and I'm loading up. And I'm thinking, what kind of bun do I want for these burgers I'm making today? And I've never done this before. I said, look at these. I think they're Pepperidge Farm. They were the sweet Hawaiian slider buns. I'm like, that's what I need for my big burger is a slider bun. I just need enough so my fingers aren't touching the burger. I want the meat out the edges, baby. I dialed those suckers up. Jessica doesn't eat hamburgers. I'm like dining alone. She had leftover salmon on a salad. I'm feeling terrible. I got this big old piece of red meat with Colby Jack cheese on it. I'm loaded up, baby. The thick pickles, some lettuce, a little ketchup. I'm dialed it up. I put seasoning all over it. This thing is good. It's juicy. It's drippy. And I got this little Hawaiian slider bun on it. I'm like, this is the way to eat hamburgers right here. The tiny bun. Nobody wants too much bread. We know what you're doing at restaurants. You're saving money. You're making money. The bread's cheap. The burger's expensive. Don't be cutting that corner on me. Don't do it. So I'm watching the golf and I'm grilling at the same time. And Nick Taylor has had a good season. And he's up against Tommy Fleetwood, who everybody loves. They call him Fairway Jesus, which I don't know whether that's right or wrong. He's got hair like Jesus, or at least as depicted by Jesus. I mean, everybody likes Tommy Fleetwood. He's a class act. He doesn't win. He's really, really good, but he doesn't win. This is basically what we got is a couple players here who are really, really good, but they just don't win. Well, they're in a playoff, so one of them is going to win. And Tommy Fleetwood shouldn't have been in a playoff. He should have birdied the last hole. It was a par five, and he didn't. And so he went to a playoff, and he winds up losing, and it was a wild playoff. They hit some bad shots, and it went on for four holes. And Nick Taylor now has, well, Fleetwood is going to be putting, and he's got about an eight-footer or something. And he'll have to make it if Nick Taylor two-putts. Nick Taylor is 72 feet away. And we're like, this is going to be a hard two-putt. If he gets this within 5 feet, it's pretty good. Up and over a ridge. I mean, it's a hard putt. This is not some little downhill lag thing to a flat area where you just get it rolling and it'll cuddle up right next to the hole. No, this is a hard putt. It's uphill. It's been raining. He said afterwards, I knew it was going to be slow. I had to hammer it. I was going to have to hammer it. 72 feet. It goes in. And he wins the tournament. And these Canadians, who weren't really cheering at all for Tommy Fleetwood, they were rooting against him, get their Canadian winner, and complete and utter pandemonium sets in. Nobody thought the putt was going to go in. It was the longest putt Nick Taylor's ever made in a golf tournament, and he did it in a playoff to win the tournament in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of drunk Canadians who absolutely went wild after this thing was over. You've never seen anything so spectacular at a non-major. There's seven or eight Canadian golfers standing around the green. They can't wait to see if Nick Taylor wins. They're going to go swarm their buddy for a Canadian winning the Canadian Open, because the Canadian Open is never won by a Canadian. And here comes Adam Hadwin. Canadian Adam Hadwin. And he's got the biggest, what do they call him, magnum of champagne. He's popped that sucker, and he is shaking it, and he is running toward Nick Taylor the second it goes in. Nick Taylor hugs his caddy. The first person going to beat a Nick Taylor, other than his caddy, is going to be Adam Hadwin. And here come all the other Canadian golfers. And boom! Like a charging bull, a security guard takes Adam Hadwin to the ground. I mean, you never saw Derek Thomas hit a quarterback this hard. This dude just leveled Adam Hadwin for running out onto the green with this magnum of champagne, and it was spraying. And look, the security guy didn't know what it was. He just saw him had something pointed at the winner and had no idea it was a golf. He's like wearing jeans and a hoodie. And he just, because all these golfers went back and changed out of their golf clothes. They didn't have their little badges on that signify that they're a player. They didn't look like golfers. They just look like dudes. And here they came running out, and Hadwin just gets clobbered. I mean, laid out right there on the 18th green. It was one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen in golf. It was just fantastic. This is what we need, and this is what LIV is doing. The PGA Tour is getting better because of LIV Golf. They're going to get better because of the merger. They're allowing fans to have a little more fun. Golf doesn't need to. Look, stuffy golf is great. Four or five times a year. We can call them majors. I'm good with all that. This week's the U.S. Open. They have a 296-yard par three. It's ridiculous. The U.S. Open tricks up courses to make players look bad. It's dumb. They have like 6 to 8 inch grass around bunkers where if you get in there, you may not get out. I don't get it. We're going to get plenty of stuffy golf this week, and the USGA is going to tell you all week long that when you go play golf, you have to follow their rules. And I say to hell with that. If you want to go play golf and play the ball up on every shot, go do it. I don't care. Go enjoy the game of golf the way you want to play it. Don't cheat other people. Don't compete against someone and not follow the rules. But if you just want to go play, go play. Right? Do it. I love golf. I love the sport, and I was rooting for Tommy Fleetwood. I'm not sure why. I guess I just know him more. But then when it happened, I'm like, how do you not like this story? And Nick Taylor just seems like the nicest guy in the world. He's in almost complete shock that he did this, and he's a true. It was the greatest moment in golf history, I think, in Canada, on Canadian soil. Mike Weir won the Masters many, many years ago. He's Canadian. So that was a big thing in Canada. Not a lot of golf history in Canada now. That's Hockeyville. But almost all the hockey players in Canada are pretty good golfers, not professional level, but this is a really big deal. Good for him. Virginia baseball over the weekend. Oh, you're going to love this. Virginia baseball has a closer named Steven Skoch, who goes by the nickname the Big Donkey. He is the owner, it says on his Twitter feed, he's the owner, operator, model, and CEO of BigDonkeyBrand.com. He does a podcast, and he considers himself a personality hire. Whatever that is. They compare him to a guy named Kenny Powers, who was a fictional character on HBO's Eastbound and Down, which is no longer on. It was on about 10 years ago or longer. Will Ferrell produced that and was on it. And there's a relief pitcher. The main character is named Kenny Powers. And that's who they compare this Steven Skoch to. He's an odd duck. He's another baseball odd duck. This is a senior in college pitching against Duke in to go to the College World Series over the weekend. And after he closed out a game, they had him on, and it was one of the most awkward, enormously strange, bizarre interviews that we love. We love it when people say things. And boy, did Steven Skoch say things. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
You know, you walk into a stadium, 8,000 people, they all want you to lose. But as long as you got your 26 guys ready to kick butt, you're going to be all right. Sorry, I sweared. I shouldn't have
No,
sweared.
You're good, man. Let's go back to that last inning, ninth inning. What are the emotions like entering that inning?
Well, emotions are go in, win. I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner. So it's like, you know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to attack. I think three words every time I'm out there. The first one's a swear word, starts with F. Second word's attack. Third one's win. And I just repeat that to myself. Unless, you know, there's a breach in the system and I walk a guy and I got to tell myself I'm a few different things that isn't a winner. I might break that, but then I get right back on it. Just this attack, win, you know. And
Steve,
it's really easy pitching when you got defense like ours. I tell you, it's so easy when they're behind you. As long as you keep it in the yard, you got a chance, which is pretty cool.
Does anything make you nervous?
Caves. Mainly. Nothing really. I mean, I don't see any caves out here. I know we're in the south, but it's not the desert. That's where I find most caves are probably at. But, you know, this is just a game. There's going to be way harder things in life than striking out the side or not walking somebody. So I don't really get too caught up in all the jibber-jabber and all the mean things people might say to me because it's just, you know, I think I'm a cool guy. My dogs think I'm awesome. My teammates like me. And my friends like me. So I'm going to attack. I'm going to win. Simple.
Here's one last one for you.
Yeah, no problem.
You've heard this before.
Yeah.
When people say Kenny Powers, what do you think?
I think, damn, I'm doing a good job. Because like I said, the dude took 86 to the big leagues after being out of the big leagues. You kidding me? You kidding me? He took that and turned it into a winner. So people are like, oh, Kenny Powers. I'm like, I mean, I might throw a little differently, a little firmer than he did after, you know, he started boozing and doing drugs. But, I mean, that probably won't be a big part of my life as it was his. But, hey, it's Kenny P. He's a winner. End of the day.
Odd, strange, awkward, you name it. Doesn't really matter. We love people in sports that say things. And Steven Skoch clearly has no problem saying things. And so we like that. He earns our tip of the cap right here at KKHI, no doubt. Our final is going to be brought to you by Window World, simply the best for less, online at windowskansascity.com. They're the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. Lifetime warranty, 0% interest, J.D. Power Award. That's it. That's all you got to know. The Blue Mountain Hotel and Goolsby's in Manhattan is a great place for any type of a personal event. You just want to stay the night if you're going to be in Manhattan. Or I speak to a lot of dudes that are like, we have these fraternity reunions, and they go back for, with their frat brothers and play golf or do whatever. Y'all want to stay at the Bluemont, you can walk across the street to Aggieville. It's all right there if you're having some sort of a reunion in Manhattan. The Bluemont Hotel, don't forget to swing by Goolsby's if you're in town, even if you're not staying there, and have an appetizer or a cold one. You can pour your own off the tap of beers and seltzers on the wall. There are 30 of them on the wall at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, online at bluemonthotel.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Ooh, I had a bad dream last night. It was about wasps. I don't like wasps. I had a terrible dream, and I woke up, and I was, like, scratching, and, you know, when you're dreaming about something like that. It was my mom's old house where I grew up. No idea, no context in the dream. I don't know why I was there, but there's kind of an easement that's just above where the air conditioner compressor is outside behind the house, which is up next to the garage my dad built. Not an attached garage. It's its own building. My dad built it, and it's right there, and there used to always be a lot of wasps there. For some reason, I was sitting back behind the house in one of those, what, the vinyl? Nylon? Lawn chairs? Remember, they were really light. They had the straps that would fray and break. I was sitting in one of those creaky old things, and there were wasps everywhere. And I know why this happened, because I went to a restaurant a couple days ago and tried to sit on the patio, and there were wasps everywhere because there was a fireplace on the patio and a television screen, and somewhere in there was a wasp nest because there was about 20 of them flying around the thing. I was like, yeah, I need to move to another table. And so I did. And then eventually I said, I think I just need to go inside. And so I did. And so then 2 days later, I have this dream about the wasp nest, and I'm like, and I wake up, and now I'm aware there's no – there was no part of the dream about Advantage Termite and Pest Control. I just, when I woke up from the dream and went, and I started scratching myself, I'm like, okay, that's good. We don't have any here at the house. And I thought to myself, we don't have any here at the house because of my friends at Advantage. They take good care of all that for us. We appreciate them. AdvantageTPC.com is their website. Our final is a band you've never heard of. It is a band named Flatland Cavalry. They were the opening act on Saturday at Arrowhead. They were the opening act. This is before Lenny Wilson, before Riley Green, before Luke Combs. Like, this is early. Nobody's in there. If you're at Arrowhead, you're probably still in the parking lot when Flatland Cavalry starts. Still, for a six-man group to be on this mega stage in Arrowhead Stadium must have been an absolute thrill. I guess it's an up-and-coming band. I'm not familiar with them. I didn't see them. We didn't get in there in time to see Flatland Cavalry. Sorry, Flatland, but I'm guessing they had the day of days. Flatland Cavalry not only was on the opening card for Luke Combs, 55,000 tickets sold at Arrowhead Stadium. Before the show, backstage, they got to meet Patrick Mahomes. They took pictures with Patrick Mahomes. They made the Texas Tech guns up sign with their thumb and their index finger, and they were all right there in all their glory backstage. One of them even had a Guns Up t-shirt on because Flatland Cavalry is from Lubbock, Texas, and they love them some Patrick Mahomes. I have not done the research to find out if they were there because of Patrick Mahomes. They may well have been. Maybe it's a band he's familiar with. Whatever. Maybe he got them on the undercard. I don't know. It seems like a little too much of a coincidence that the band you've never heard of is from Lubbock and Patrick Mahomes was with them backstage. We'll do a little more research on that one and find out for sure right here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.